The first time that I shoplifted, I was 4. I had been taken by the parents of some friends to the supermarket, and we were walking through the candy aisle. As we walked past the gummy candy by weight, I reached out my hand, grabbed a handful of gummy mice, and stuffed them in my pocket. Later, when I had gotten back to my own house, I stood in the living room and crammed my mouth full of the first of my plunder. And just then, my mother walked into the living room. She saw the gummy tails sticking treacherously out of my mouth, and in a flash of insight, seemed to understand where I had gotten the illicit sweets. "Well, Jedediah," she said. It was never a good sign when she used my whole first name. "You have a choice to make." It seems like there is always a choice to be made. Paper or plastic, chicken or fish, cake or death. In fact, a few weeks ago, we heard Moses offer the tribes of Israel a choice. Life and blessing, or death and curses and suffering. The choice, Moses made clear, was up to the Israelites. They could choose God, who had delivered them from the Egyptians, brought them through the wilderness in spite of their stiff-necked ways, and taken care of their every need. Or they could choose to worship unspeaking idols. The attendant consequences for those decisions were sort of obvious. The choice would not just be made one time, however. The choice that Moses put before the Israelites had to be made over and over again each day. Jesus takes this choice and presents it in terms that his followers can understand at the beginning of today's gospel. He says, "You cannot serve two masters. You cannot love both God and wealth." The implicit meaning here is that you have to make a choice between one of those two. But Jesus takes it one step further. He goes on to combine the choice that Moses offered with the prophetic message found in today's reading from Isaiah. "See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand." The reality, Jesus tells us, is that God cares for his whole creation, from the birds of the air to the grass of the field. And God knows that he must sustain each of them and each of us. But, Jesus reminds us, we are created for more than just mere survival. We are to be more than just what our base acquisitive instincts would make us. We have a choice. Be like everyone else, like the Gentiles who strive to fill themselves and fulfill only those instincts, or to be the ones who follow him, the ones who strive first for the kingdom of God. To seek the kingdom, to strive for it, just like the choice that Moses gave the Israelites, is not a one-time effort, but the work of a lifetime. Jesus calls us to practice living the life of the kingdom, a kingdom that has begun in his crucifixion and resurrection, but is not fully realized just yet. Just like choosing the life that Moses offered the Israelites, striving for the kingdom is a lifetime of choices, each one building on the last. And this striving makes these choices, hopefully, form habits, kingdom habits. And those habits will prepare us for life in the kingdom of God, which has begun in the resurrection of Christ and will continue to its zenith in God's reign in the New Jerusalem, as the Apostle John tells us in his Revelation. Some of you might remember a man named Chesley Sullenberger from the news a few years ago. Before January 15th, 2009, most of us hadn't heard of him. But then Captain Sullenberger did something we found amazing. He saved the lives of hundreds of people, both in his airplane and on the ground, when he successfully landed his Airbus A320 on the Hudson River after colliding in midair with a flock of geese. People called what Captain Sullenberger did a miracle. But for years before that day, The captain had made a series of choices, choices to be the best pilot that he could be. He had chosen to discipline his abilities by attending the Air Force Academy. He had spent hours honing his skills in flight simulators and in gliders. He gave up his free time to study how not to make errors in emergency situations in psychology classes, achieving 2 master's degrees, and also served on several aviation crash investigation boards. Many of his choices ate up his time, and some would have been difficult. He was forced to move many times in pursuit of being this perfect pilot. But all of them formed him into a man that he was, a man full of habits of excellence, being an excellent pilot. So that on January 15, 2009, when he landed that plane in the river, he did so automatically, almost, as if it was second nature that he knew how to do such a tricky maneuver just perfectly. He was, in that moment, the quintessential good pilot, made so by making difficult choices for years upon years that made it easier when it really counted. And that made all the difference to the 155 people on his plane and to those of us who watched his feet from the ground. Striving for the kingdom means making choices, and those choices are often hard. Choices that are sort of like the 2 that my mother gave me when she caught me with gummy mouse tails sticking out of my mouth. She said, "You have a choice to make. You can either spend the rest of your life in the house, never eat another sweet, never see any of your friends again, and take no responsibility for your actions. Or you can take the money in your piggy bank, go back to the supermarket, find the manager, tell him what you've done, and take responsibility for your actions. And I might let you out of the house again in, oh, say about a year." 30 minutes later, after some weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth on my part, I returned to the scene of my crime, my fox-shaped piggy bank in my hands. Today we will renew our baptismal vows by reciting the baptismal covenant. In our baptismal covenant, we promise to continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in resisting evil and sin and repenting, in sharing the good news of Christ. We promise to seek Christ in all persons and to strive for peace and justice. Baptism is a first step, the first choice. And it's quite a first choice, quite a foundation for the rest of our lives of choices. In all of these promises that we renew this morning, we promise to choose the kingdom rather than other options that might be easier, other options that might not make us stand out so much from everyone else around us. We strive to keep these promises because we have been brought into a kingdom by the water of baptism. And in this kingdom, we are called to be like Christ. We strive to keep these promises. We strive for the kingdom. Strive for the kingdom, Jesus says. Seek to enter by the narrow way in order to form the soul-saving habits that we must make the choice for the grace that has been offered to us in Christ. We cannot serve 2 masters. We have a choice to make. Amen.